إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. الحمد لله رب العالمين that we are in the month of Ramadan. And month of Ramadan is a waking up month. Waking up for all of us, for our soul, for our mind. We are overoccupied. We all want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy. We all want Allah to be pleased with us. We all want to have the bitter ending out of this life. And inshallah, the favor of Allah in the hereafter. We all want that. But also we know that the only thing that is grabbing us from out, for reaching out, and for being in this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the act of obedience. That we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we look why we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the adult, we're going to find there are two major reasons. One, the need of your stomach. The second, the biological need for the adult. These are the roots of the act of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here it comes in the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan, saying, I am going to help you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, I ordain fasting on you as I ordained on the previous nation, you may acquire piety. That means I'm helping you out in the month of Ramadan by making you gain control again over those things that keep you away. What is fasting is all about? It is about abstaining from food and drink and sexual activity from the dawn to the sunset as an act of worship. And if you are trained, you trained yourself by your choice, by yourself, to say no to the lawful, definitely you can say no to the forbidden later on. So I like to look at the month of Ramadan, I like to look at it as a training course. A training course helping you to gain control again over your life. And helping you to control those elements that take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy. What is the ultimate goal? Is it taqwa? And when you look at the Holy Quran, you will see that the taqwa, they are not prophets, al-muttaqeen, they are not prophets, they are not messengers. But they are a certain category of people. In the Holy Quran, they have the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favor those people. The muttaqeen, Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya rabbal alameen. So your root to taqwa is fasting. So now you know what Allah favor, and you know how to get there, and what taking you away from going there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them by so many ayat, but the time will not going to allow us to go through those. Inna Allah ma'al ladheena attaqaw. Allah with the people who have a taqwa. Inna Allah yuhibbul muttaqeen. Allah favor the muttaqeen. سارعوا إلى جنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made heaven, the paradise, bigger than heaven and earth. For who? For muttaqeen. اللهم اجعلنا منهم جميعا يا رب. So for the taqwa, we have to, the taqwa is what you have to face yourself to the hello. And if you already, alhamdulillah, have it, that's the time to strengthen it and to hold on to it, because this is your emanation for the next year, till the next year. So we need to know what is the taqwa. The taqwa is basically, which is, before I go through the taqwa, I want to ask myself and ask you, do you really feel that there are some changes happened to you in the last 20 some days? Any changes happen in your life? I think one of the things that we all have in common, the word I can't, now it is I can. if in any given day you have a temperature out there in average 90, humidity is way up there, and you breakfast almost quarter to 9. No food, no drink, no nothing, and you are going to the same job, you are doing the same thing, and you keep on going. You did what you said before you cannot do. Who pushed you to do it? Who forced you to do it? What kind of a court order got you to do it? Other than your love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one. And if you breakfast, who will know other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you? No one. And you keep going. Why? That is the taqwa. That is a sign of the taqwa. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to develop and wants you to face and wants you to be familiar with. So the taqwa is the love of Allah that can motivate you to try to please Him. And at the same time, the fear of Allah that's going to strain you from disobeying. Because you can love, but you don't respect. You don't fear. You love your child, you obey him, but if you're going to do something, you're going to spank him. You are not afraid of your child, but you love him and you obey him. And also another form of obedience is when you have somebody is your supervisor or your manager or whatever that is. He can give you order and you hate the orders and you hate him, but you're going to do it. You're going to do it if you want to keep your job. So that's a form of obedience, and that's another form of obedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, I don't want either one. I want the combination. I want you when you do something that you love to do it. And at the same time, don't take it for granted. Don't take my patience and mercy for granted. So you do it to please Allah, you have the desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the same time you have the fear and you say, you know, you will never dare to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the taqwa. How we know if we have taqwa or if we don't have a taqwa? That is one of the signs. Where do you stand from that? Do you find it easy for you to do the act of disobedience? We all, every one of us know what you are doing. And what is your life. And what you are doing right and what you are doing wrong. You know. Every one of us do. Do you take it lightly? Did you get used to it? To the point that you don't know anymore it is wrong? Or you think it is okay? It is everybody is doing that? And what is wrong with that? And before you know it, you're going to find that you get used to it and you will automatically do it without even asking yourself if that's right or wrong. That's a problem right there. That's a problem right there. So khashyatillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where do you stand from khashyatillah? Do you dare to do the disobedience or not? And for the one who dare to do the disobedient, I want to just share something with you. I'm talking to myself before I talk to you. I'm not going to tell you think again. No. But I'm going to tell you this. Don't look at the act of disobedience, but look to who you disobey. If you know your manager on the job can fire you on the spot without giving explanation, you see him even in the hallway, you don't feel comfortable. If he's going to say, you, go home, no one going to ask him. And no one going to even ask him for justification to that. You see that person, you are not going to feel comfortable. How about the Creator? Don't look at the act of disobedience itself, but look who you are disobeying. You are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not your manager. Not the one who can hire up fire. You are disobeying the one who created, gave life and death, and give rizq. The one who gave life and death, not gives jobs. And he is the one who gives jobs, because the job is a part of the rizq. The second, التنزيل, العمل بالتنزيل. Where you stand from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it is lawful and forbidden. Halal and haram. What Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to do and not to do, and he already did it. Are we aware of it? Do we know what is the right thing to do and what is the wrong thing to stay away from it? Or we don't? Or we are living according to habits and traditions and cultures. The culture tells us that's right, so it is right. The culture tells us this is wrong, it is wrong. And maybe that's in a complete contradiction with the teaching of the Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your commitment, the first and the second and the third and the last commitment, it's supposed to be to the Quran and the Sunnah. If that will be okay with the culture and habits and tradition, put it on the top of your head. If not, no thank you. You have your way, I have mine. If you are not going to stand up for your own being, who are you going to stand up for? People going to hate you? Big deal. Getting people angry or getting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala angry? It doesn't count. It doesn't count at all. Your job and mine, as long as we are alive, and as long as we are breathing, our job is to try to know. We are not scholars. We are not claiming to be scholars. We are not going to be scholars. We don't want to be scholars. Scholars has its own people. But what we want to do, we want to be a believer. We want to be a believer. I want to be the believer that every single day learn something new and apply it. Every single day, I learn something new. What Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and apply it. قَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. The best role model is Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look, how Sayyidina Muhammad, he was a husband. Do you think he did not have the problems that you're having with your spouse? How he solved it. How he behaved as a father. How he behaved with his neighbors. He had good neighbors and bad neighbors, like you do have a good neighbors and bad neighbors. How he did it. And his trade and his business. He had a good people and bad people. How he treated them. How he handled it. How he was merciful with his enemies. Look at that. But when our relationship with Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is only when the name get mentioned, we say alayhi salatu wa sallam, and we don't know anything about him, we do not apply what he did, we don't know his sunnah, we don't know anything about his biography, and we want to be with him, how it going to work? Al-mar'u ma'a man habba yawm al-qiyamah. You will be with whomever you love in the day of judgment. How are you going to love somebody you don't know? And to you it is only a name. You have to spend the brother month of Ramadan is about waking up cold before it is too late. It is waking up cold before it is too late. Try to find out who Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he do? And there are so many books in the area. So many. But the most important thing, commit yourself. Every single day, I'm going to learn one thing new. And that's my ammunition for that day and for next day to apply. And for the rest of my life. Only one day. That order can be coming from the Holy Quran. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Oh who believe, protect yourself and your supporters and your spouses and your families from Allah's anger and punishment and the nar. That's something to look for. That's something to apply. You cannot turn that away. month of Ramadan about waking up. Accepting having month of Ramadan also about having the opportunity to realize what you got. All of us, including me, we really don't have, we do not focus too much about what we got. But we all the time focus about what we're missing. If I have that much, I am missing that much, I forget all what I have, and I only keep dwelling and feeling sorry and for that part, the missing part. And all my energy going instead of how I'm going to apply and manipulate what I got is how to get what I missed. Listen, if Allah knows what you think it is good for you and you are missing, if He knows it is good for you, He would have given it to you before you ask. Do you know why? Because His name is Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman about what? About sensing the needs and give it before the person feel for it. Ar-Rahman, it's about not being preventing harm, but sensing the need and give it to the other before they ask for it. And you can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving you the air before you ask for it, giving you the everything before you ask for it. So if it is good for you, He would have given it to you. So it is not important what you got. More important is what you do with what you got. What you doing. And definitely, what you got is different from what you got, from different from what you got, from different. Every one of us gets completely different set. And not only that, what you got yesterday is different from what you get today. And different, if Allah won't, from what you're going to get tomorrow. It is not important what you got. More important is what you do with what you got. Today you are healthy, that's what you got. وَلَعَزُ بِاللَّهِ tomorrow you can be sick, that's what you got. The question, if you are healthy, what you going to do with it to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if you are sick, what you going to do to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where is your strategy? Where is your goal? Where is your drive? That's the month of Ramadan is all about. It's to re-energize you and it charge you to go and regain again. And you realize it is not important what you got. More important is what you do with what you got. Alhamdulillah for what you got. Look at Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. Look at Surah Yusuf. Imagine a child get abused by the meaning of the best abuse. When you get abused from strangers, you get hurt. But when you get abused from the loved one, that's indescribable. When you see your own brother doing that to you, that's not the first time in his life. And we all know about Sayyidina Yusuf and what happened to him and where he got. Now he is started to breathe and getting by and growing up and start on his feet and whatever. And here it goes to the next turbulent in his life. Imra'at al-Aziz, the ruler wife. After they confirmed, bonafide, testified that he is innocent, what did they decide? Put him in jail. Sometimes you say, I am innocent, they misunderstood. But no, they coming to you and say, we do not misunderstand, we know you are innocent, but we are putting you in jail. We are putting you in jail. How fair is that? What kind of a mind said can accept that? Two things before I leave this story. When he went to jail, what he was doing? Was he sitting down crying and bickering and doing this and doing that? No. He was making da'wah. Out of all of these dilemma that it can destroy any person, he was making da'wah. And after everything cleared at the end of Surah Yusuf, what he is saying. And if we understand this and we just carve it in our mind, not write it and put it on the walls, but carve it in our soul and mind for remembering a good demonstration to how to accept and to manipulate what Allah gave you, what he was saying at the end. Alhamdulillah alladhi ahsana maswaya. All praise and thanks to be to Allah who make me through life treated kindly. If what you have, all of that treated kindly, what is bad is. But you know why he saw it as kind instead of bad? He's confident in Allah's mercy. He got the confidence in Allah's mercy. And he already applied the rule. Not important what I got, more important what I do with what I got to get closer to Allah. Accepting what Allah gave you and thinking about what to use, how to use it, how to use what you got to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Getting ready to leave. There is nothing has a misconception about it more than death. We all know we're gonna die. We all know one way, one day, sun gonna come out, moon gonna come out, and we are not here. We pass by graveyards and it doesn't mean anything to us. Laying down there, people have the same dreams, the same feeling, the same desire, the same everything like you do. And where are they now? And you know there is no exception, and this is your role. And you are next one online. That up to here is a problem. But the biggest problem is when we take it for granted. I am healthy. I am okay. I'm going to be, probably, I'm going to die, yes. But maybe when I'm old or sick or whatever. Who told you that? The young die before the old. And the healthy die before the sick. Wallahi, I'm not talking about myself, but I'm one of them. I came to a stage where they say, give him everything. That's it. He's gone. Bye. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent one surgeon. He said, I don't have anything to lose. I'm going to open him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala healed me. And I'm alive. And he did. He's dead. Short time after he finished, subhanallah, he died. He's a top-notch surgeon. He's a young man. He's as healthy as it can be. He was in a conference, one of those medical conferences. He went to the conference. Next day, the bus came to pick him up to go to the conference. They knocked on his hotel room. He opened, did not open. They opened the door and he was dead in his bed. Are you ready? The bottom line. Are you ready to go now? If you are not ready to go now and you say, Alhamdulillah, I did the best that I can, you are wasting your life and wasting your time. You really do. Are you ready now? Right this second. Can you say there is nothing that I could have done and I didn't do it? Or you keep postponing, I will do that later. I will finish maybe doing that good deed later. Or I'm going to finish with that person that I'm in conflict with him, I'm going to get into him. Or. Where we got the license, the contract in our hand that we're going to live for another 5 minutes. Who gave it to you? And if you don't have it, why you behave like you have it? اتخذتوا على الله عهدا أم تقولون على الله ما لا تعلمون. Do you have a contract from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or you say and do what you really don't know? Month of Ramadan about being alert to go anytime. I hope that when you leave here today, every one of us has his own basket of trouble bothering him and problem bothering him and people he doesn't want to see or a conflict with. Write down a piece of paper. All of those problems. Believe me, while you are writing, you will find out they are not important. The most important, if somebody tell you have 15 minutes to live, only 15 minutes to live, which one of those problems you're going to say, I better look at this one first? Most of the time you're going to say none of the above. Because the major problem with your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most likely not going to be on the list. Do you know how Allah sees you? How Allah evaluates you? If you don't you think this is a problem? Month of Ramadan about waking up. The last element of taqwa, the hope. In any one of us, if you compare what Allah gave you and what you are giving back, You get depressed. If you are honest and sincere with yourself, you will get depressed. You can very easily see your shortcoming with yourself. Losing hope. How I'm going to measure up to that? How I'm going to make up for that? There is nothing here going to save you but the hope. The hope in Allah's mercy. And remembering, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa rahmati wasi'at kulla shay. My mercy compass everything. Just come. Hope. You never lose hope in Allah's mercy. You never allow to start with. Your shortcoming, your disobedience took you away and further away from Allah's mercy. Don't let your realization that you are away stop you from going back. And have the hope and have the desire and have the dedication and determination that inshallah I will be accepted. Inshallah, Allah will treat me. Not by justice, but by mercy. Because if Allah gonna treat us with justice, none of us would be saved. None. But you hope in Allah's mercy. You hang on to Allah's mercy. And if you do that, that's what the month of Ramadan is all about. Is waking up this taqwa, waking up those feelings, inshaAllah. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and ask Him to bless our gathering and forgive our sin. Inna alhamdulillah. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. Brother, we have a couple questions and no one gonna answer it for you. You have to be very honest with yourself. And you have to answer those questions by yourself, to yourself. One of those questions, it comes on the top of the list because it's not going to work any other way. Is the month of Ramadan to you, the end of it going to be the first of Shawwal? The month of Ramadan going to end after a few days? Or Ramadan to you is a state? Is it the Ramadan is a month? You did alhamdulillah good and inshallah Allah will accept. Or Ramadan is a starting point for the rest of the year and for the rest of your life. If Allah give you another Ramadan, you will improve. If He doesn't, alhamdulillah, but I'm in the state of Ramadan. You prove to yourself now and before even the end of Ramadan, you can do it. You are doing it already. You are doing it. You are doing what you did not do before. Look at the fasting, how it is going. Look at Qiyamul Layl, how it is doing. Look at reciting Quran, how it is doing. Look at the Sadaqah, how it is doing. You've been doing a whole a lot of things for the month of Ramadan. Why you don't move on with it? What is it that's stopping you from keeping going? Taking it with you to the others and others and others and others till next Ramadan, if Allah wanted to be for you another Ramadan. So here you have to decide. The first of all, you have to decide. Is the month of Ramadan gonna end in the beginning of Shawwal or is not gonna end at the beginning of Shawwal? You have to decide that. The second question that you need to answer. Maybe I cannot do everything I'm doing in the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. You've been juggling everything and you proved it, but maybe that's the max. Alhamdulillah. But at least you need to ask yourself, what am I going to take out of Ramadan with me for the rest of my life? You have to decide that. That's only fair to yourself. And having a mercy to your own self is to decide what you're going to take with you. In the month of Ramadan, for some reason, you succeeded to make the 5 times prayer. You find a means to do it. You find ways to do it. You got around to do it. Even some of them did jam and some did qas, and I'm sitting late, but you did the 5. Can you take that with you? Probably you can. In the month of Ramadan, you started to recite Quran. You started to do Salat al-Tarawih. Can you do that every single day? I'm not asking you to do anything because you decide what you're going to take with you. Can you read 1 page of Quran every day? When you sit in your bed, go to sleep, and have it, and read only 1 page. And next day, apply what was in this page. Can you do that? Take that from Ramadan with you. In the month of Ramadan, you went out of your way to make Salatul Rahim. You called people, you called your parents if they are alive. You remember them if they are dead. You called the people, and you break fast with the people maybe you haven't seen for a while. Can you keep doing that? In the month of Ramadan, you did a little bit extra sadaqah. You looked for poor and the needy, and you tried to reach out to them. Can you take that with you? Can you take that? I think you can. There is so many things. In the month of Ramadan, you make dua. At least the dua when you are breaking fast. Allahumma inna laka sumna wa ala rizqaka aftarna. Fa'fir lana ma taqaddam min zunubina wa ma ta'akhar. And you did make dua. You build the habit of make dua every day. Can you take that with you? You can. So the month of Ramadan about now, what am I going to take out of Ramadan? And I'm going to keep going, inshallah. Month of Ramadan, about building habits. Replacing bad habits by good ones. Replacing habits get you further away from Allah, to habits get you a lot more closer to Allah. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, you already started the process and we are already in it. And you are already doing it. The only thing is missing is to have the stamina to keep on going. And to say to the shaitan, no, I am not going back. Because the shaitan, his mean is very easy. If he cannot make you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gonna make you suspend doing what the act of obeying to Allah and what pleased to Allah. Find yourself, keep postponing. Yeah, I know it is good. I know I want to do it. I know I'm going to do it. I would love to do it. But when I finish this, when I do that, when I do this, and before you know it, life is gone. So I hope, inshallah, this month of Ramadan going to be the best month of your life. And inshallah, your commitment to it and answering to these two questions, is the month of Ramadan going to end in Shawwal or not? The answer is very important. The second, even if it is not, what am I taking out of Ramadan with me to the rest of my life? What is it that I am taking with me? These two questions challenge the shaitan by answering. Say to the shaitan, no, I am not walking your way and I'm not talking with you. I am going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy. Allah extended the hand of mercy. I accept it and I am going, inshaAllah. I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our siyam and our qiyam and give us a hope and give us the wisdom and the courage to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply him in our life. So we can live in peace and we can die in peace, and in the hereafter inshallah we'll be in peace and we'll be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Ibad Allah, qulu la ilaha illa Allah tuflihun. Ibad Allah, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا